to Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who are at Colossae. Now, saints means called ones, separate ones, special ones. And that's us. We're called, we're special. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Ever since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the other saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So then, there is a specific hope. There's a specific reward that is prepared for us and that has been prepared in heaven. But we read in Revelation 22 that Jesus will come from heaven to earth, bringing the reward with him, to reward, to give to his people. So then we don't go to heaven to get that reward, but that reward is brought to us from heaven to earth. And that hope is being prepared. So each of us is going to have something slightly different, or perhaps very different. But the point is, we'll all have our own absolutely unique, special thing to be and to do in God's kingdom. We won't all just be little eternal robots. So then, we're being prepared for that by all the totally unique situations that we have in our lives now. So he says, that hope is what you heard of in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, even as it has in all the world. And it brings forth fruit in you, as it does also throughout all the world, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So the good news of God's grace is what brings forth fruit in us, that we are so impressed, we're so touched by his grace toward us, that we therefore bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. As you also learned of Epaphras, our beloved fellow worker, who is a faithful prisoner of Christ on our behalf, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, don't cease to pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all patient wisdom and understanding, so that you might walk worthily of the Lord, so that you might completely please him. So then we can pray for others, and that has an effect upon them. He prayed for them, so that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, so that they might please God. So he doesn't just think, well, okay, they know the gospel, that's up to them. He actually prays for people that they might become more spiritual. And there's no point in doing that unless it sort of works. So that you might be the more pleasing, abounding in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his wonderful power, unto all patience, with all joy, giving thanks to the Father, who makes us appropriate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So then, he prays that other people will be given the gift of patience. It's really hard to be patient, but we can receive that gift partly because other people pray for us. It just shows that God is prepared to work directly on the human heart. And he does this by his Spirit, which is what we really need, what we can pray for others to have. So he says then, we'll be appropriate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, that's in the kingdom, who delivered us from the power of darkness and has moved us over into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. He who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. But Jesus is not God. He is the image of the God whom we can't see, but men, of course, saw Jesus. And he's the firstborn. We are also going to rise from the dead like he did. For through him were all things created. And I think this is talking about the new creation. Remember, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And that is all created by Jesus. In him were all things created, the heavens and the earth, things visible and invisible. All things were created unto him and in him. Now, I like the way it talks about being created in him, because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. When you're baptized into Christ, you are given the power of the Holy Spirit to change you, so that his creative word and power then start to create you, just as God created things by his word when he first made heaven and earth. And Jesus is above all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. We just read that Jesus was the firstborn of all creation, and now we read he's the firstborn from the dead. So when he rose from the dead, he became the first of a new creation. But Jesus didn't physically create the world. Not literally. He wasn't there. He didn't exist until he was born of Mary. So what we're reading about here is a new creation of people from the dead, spiritually and literally. So that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, whether things in heaven or things in earth. And you, who were once enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish, without anything wrong with you before him, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. So then, when Jesus comes, we will be presented as if we are without fault, because he so loves us, that though we're so full of sins and faults, he will look at us as if we do not have them. Because that's what love does. It doesn't turn a blind eye to sin, but God looks at us positively. So, that gospel was preached under all heaven to all creation, of which I, Paul, was made a servant. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up on my part what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So what he's saying is that Jesus suffered on the cross, and we also, in our sufferings, suffer aspects of his suffering on the cross. And in his case, he did it through his sufferings for the church. So that's why, when you think of Jesus dying on the cross all those years ago, there's a kind of bridge between Jesus then and me today in my sufferings, that all our sufferings actually have some aspect of his sufferings on the cross in them.